Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Albert Almora Jr., for his career, is hitting .280 with the bases loaded. 17 RBIs. He has never hit a grand slam. Here's the pitch by Irvin. Almora swings. Hits one to deep left field. Way back. You can look up. Gone! A grand slam for Albert Almora Jr. Cubs lead 7-3.
Charlie bashes this ball. Deep right field. It is a grand slam, Charlie Tilson. Start the party at New Trier. 8-3 Sox.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. I don't think you should be telling high school kids to party.
No, I don't think so. How about the South Side? Can they party too?
Yeah, start the party
it's
on the South Side.
More than just a New Trier celebration. Come on, Charlie Tilson, the
Charlie,
South Sider.
Charlie
now.
went to New Trier, obviously.
Yeah, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, and he was drafted by the Cardinals in the second round of the draft, and Tom Ricketts famously was peeved by that because I think he met the Tilson family and found out that Charlie was that the Cubs were one of two teams that didn't show up at his workout, and he felt that if that guy ends up playing center field for the Cardinals, that's going to be very upsetting.
Is that scene one, act one?
He's in their backyard. I don't know what scene one, act one is. I think you've got to write the screenplay.
I'm just asking, you know. Charlie Tilson, congratulations. It was a great homer.
And Albert Almora Jr., yeah. Congratulations. And really,
a grand slam
on both sides of town from unlikely heroes.
Denny's for
fair?
Everybody. The grand slam breakfast.
First time grand slams, first home run for Charlie Tilson. And it's a granny, so that's just a fun little thing to look at with both those guys hitting grand slams.
And how about our Zach being so prescient?
Oh, how about Zach?
Zach Zegman.
The one thing he hasn't done, and boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, calling that. Zach. Almost like he sensed it.
Zach
almost
knew
like
it.
Coomer was setting up almost, saying, hey, look if they're going to throw him here.
It's almost like he made it happen.
Well,
look what Zach has delivered.
He had a nice two-game series there, filling in for Pat Hughes. That was very good. And the Cubs and the Phillies back at it today.
Yep.
And the White Sox and the Astros with the big game down in Houston, the final game of that series. So I think Almora, though, when you look at the things that he brings the Cubs, and we talk so much about his defense, but to realize
he brings them enough to start, period. But now when he's hitting, it's something special.
He's their best hitter. Average-wise, since the end of April, since April 25th, he's hitting .342. I think that as much clamoring as there has been at times for him to be, oh, you got to hit him leadoff. You have to have a regular, everyday leadoff hitter. Number one.
Leave him right where he's at.
I think, that ignores due credit. Kyle Schwarber's been pretty good at the top of the order.
He gets on base.
I think it's unorthodox, but it's working. And number two, maybe Albert Almora is better. Lower in the order because he's producing. Joe likes the production at the bottom of the batting order, and there seems to be maybe less pressure on him to produce when he's batting sixth or eighth, and he certainly has been good batting eighth.
And some of the guys that were producing on the bottom part of that order have cooled off a little bit, right?
Yeah,
including Jay Hay, right?
Including Hayward, who has struggled at times now in the last. You know, when he began to struggle is when Almora started to take off,
right?
And that they have sort of changed roles and. It's just nice to see player development, as Theo often has said, is not linear. And there's ups and there's downs.
It's incremental jumps.
And there are things that are going to happen. And last year, a year ago at this time, we were thinking, okay, Albert Almora, he's arrived. He's fine. Look at him. Look at what he's doing.
You tried to trade him earlier in the year.
I think I did. No.
You tried to trade him about a month ago.
For a closer?
You were talking about it.
Maybe I'm introducing that sort of speculation. I don't know if I had him traded. Maybe I did.
You were wheeling and dealing.
Okay. Well, now
and you know what? I think that there wasn't a lot of blowback. There wasn't a lot of push on that because there was a feeling that, you know, this is the best he can be.
Unfulfilled potential. What's his ceiling?
Right.
And if any player in that organization took advantage of the opportunity that was created when Ian Happ was sent to Iowa, it's Albert Almora.
No question.
Because you look at that, those guys were sharing time. Those guys were competitive.
Yes.
Who's going to do what and what talents do they bring to the table and the different skill sets? Albert Almora has taken this opportunity and he's run with it. And I think that now the key is, as we said at the 5-5, adjusting to the way the league adjusts to him. He didn't do that a year ago in the second half. His decline's well documented. Now he's got to take advantage and stay on top.
How is Happy doing in Iowa?
I don't think he's hitting for average. I think he's striking out still at a pretty, I don't want to say alarming rate, but probably more. But I'll check his numbers because this is a guy. Where does he fit if he comes back?
48 strikeouts for Happy in 44 games. Got a 362 on base with 6 home runs. So, fine.
Fine. You're right,
fine.
Kevin.
Fine. He's not exactly knocking down the door to get back up here.
It's Triple A.
That's my point.
And you would like to see him be more than fine. Actually, you'd like to see him, to use a White Sox example, Daniel Palka's gone down to Charlotte, and instead of pouting, he's been hitting. And
I don't want him. You can have him. He's not good enough for me. I was just singing the Daniel Palka.
Is that what it was? Okay.
It's the I don't want her. You can have her. She's
you can
too
sing.
Fat
just don't
me.
Dance.
It's the too fat Palka, but I'm trying to adapt it.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's problematic now.
It's not working.
But he's taking it.
I don't want to be commenting on a woman's body because it's wrong. And I have daughters, and I have a wife, and I had a mother, and these are things you're not supposed to do.
I just didn't want to hear.
I just didn't want to hear you sing.
I had to break it down. I was just talking about your singing, man.
I thought it was the accordion that was bothering you.
Okay. But Palka has gone to Charlotte and responded to his demotion. He's taken the play and gone to the bat like he's angry, and he's hitting home runs, and he was the International League Player of the Week last week.
He was so awful to start the season.
He was awful.
I mean, it was just painful. And I hear what you're saying, and you're get him up here.
No, hold on. I hear what you're saying.
There's an undercurrent of that.
Okay.
I'm barely over the beginning of the season.
Well, I understand that because
awful.
The undercurrent that you sense might be there, but I'm not willing to go out on a limb and say, okay, when Daniel Palka comes back, he's going to continue to hit home runs. I don't know about that.
Saying a lot. Let's 312-644-6767. Matt is in River North. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning, fellas. You know, someone compared Charlie Tilson to Albert Almora. Two things. I haven't seen Tilson play enough, but when he hits a home run off Kershaw in the playoffs and plays the type of defense Almora plays. The thing with Almora is he doesn't have to hit great on that team in that lineup.
Right.
Just catch the ball, play the defense. He's an elite defensive center fielder. And that's the outfield defense is so important. I don't think they understand that on the South side because they haven't had a good one since Rowan. But that is critical. It saves your pitching staff so much aggravation. And he gets the balls that most people don't get to.
Well, they have had.
Fair enough. I don't think you need to criticize Tilson.
They did have a really good defensive center fielder, but he just couldn't hit his weight.
Adam Engel.
So he had to go down. So it's not like they haven't seen that kind of player.
Engel and Albert Almora defensively, you could make that comparison.
Right.
That's a good comparison. I don't think it's fair to Charlie Tilson to compare him to Albert Almora.
Who did that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I made a comparison saying that their ideal spots on a good team would be as a fourth outfield.
And Kevin.
Yeah.
And thank you to the always objective Matt from River North.
Saying somebody's a fourth outfielder in this town, them's fighting words.
That'll get you in trouble.
Okay.
That'll get you in trouble. That'll get you thrown out of the locker room of the clubhouse for life.
The leader in Drake, which is crazy enough as a 14-year-old if you look at that, but the kid was so tremendous.
And listen, I'm not comparing either of those guys to that clown, all right?
To Drake? Wasn't a clown?
No, not Drake. No.
Drake's still playing.
Neither Charlie Tilson nor Albert Almora are as clubhouse problematic in the clubhouse as Adam Eaton.
Drake is a high school senior, and he is a pitcher, and his grandfather was a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you ever get a chance, go take a look at the Ephus pitch that his grandfather threw. Nothing like a good Ephus. And go to YouTube and just Ephus LaRoche
Who was his grandfather?
His Adam's dad was a major league pitcher.
Okay.
What's his name? Dave LaRoche. And he threw an ephus that is on YouTube that is hysterical. It's fantastic.
I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah.
And also,
get to YouTube.
You
get
know
me
this,
to YouTube.
You know this because you did some Drake LaRoche digging yesterday to find out how old he is and what he's done.
Oh, while we were on the air.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it'd be great to have him on.
Yeah, it would be.
Ask him if he likes that Sox players are still fighting
over. I think the parents might put a
I don't know. His dad, his dad could be overseas investigating whatever.
Cambodia.
Undercover. Yeah. 312-644-6767. Back with your calls on Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score.
The 1-2 is drilled. This one is gone to straightaway center field. Do not be alarmed at all. Javier Baez is just fine as he smacks a solo home run. Cubs extend the lead 8-3 over the Phillies here in the 7th. Magnifico!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Why do we like Zach so much?
Dr. Zaidman pronounced Javi all well.
Oh,
everything's fine. He's going to be just no problem there.
Good to know.
Do not be alarmed.
El Mago, the magic man.
But Javi Baez got all of that one. Oh my goodness.
Gosh. Yeah. Well,
my goodness.
But Rizzo really was the shot they'll talk about.
Well, that is the one that's still going and hit the D on the Budweiser sign.
There you go.
Javi's wasn't the longest home run of the night.
It wasn't as violent,
but it was the most welcome one. I know Rizzo's tied the game at 3. I know Elmora's was the grand slam that everyone's talking about. But with all of the consternation and concern around Javi Baez's heel, to see him go deep like that, that was the most welcome home run of the 3.
312-644-6767. Let's start with Bob. Bob is on the road. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Morning.
How are you?
We are listening.
I have a comment and a question on Elmora. Some guys just need to play. How do you think Mr. Overmanage, he just seems to want to play around with Almora's playing time all the time.
I don't think that's fair or
accurate.
Are you
a lineup-ista? Is that what happened here? You being a lineup-ista?
I just think that he has to always pick.
For all the lineup-istas out there right now.
That in the past.
Bob, okay, I understand the perception that Albert Almora needs to play more. The reality is he played in 152 games last year. He's played in 45 this year.
Pieces of games. He would come in for one at bat. He would come in and be a pinch hitter, a pinch runner, and then play in the ninth or tenth inning. Some people just need to play 9 innings every game.
Joe doesn't put his lineup together that way. He likes to keep people off balance and... Yeah,
I know, but is that just overmanaging for the sake of overmanaging when you got a guy who needs to get some continuity?
Bob, for the sake of argument, what he's done with Albert Elmora has created a situation where Albert Elmora has led the Cubs in hitting since April 25th. So whatever approach he's taken to using him, it's working.
It's really a really non-sophisticated way to look at this whole thing.
Let's try John. John's on the road. Hey, John.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Real quickly, Javi Baez takes me back to my youth, and it was in the end of Clemente's career, but Javi, if you read Clemente's biography and that, Javi just reminds me of Roberto Clemente.
Wow.
We're like in the era of Clemente with Javi. Thanks.
Wow.
High praise.
Yeah.
There's no higher praise in baseball than you can compare somebody to Roberto Clemente. And the joy with which Javi Baez plays is, I think, what people often, why they make that comparison. I don't remember watching Roberto Clemente. I certainly was too young to have done that. But I think that when you watch the clips and you hear what people say, and certainly the legacy speaks for itself, that's quite a compliment. And I think that Javi Baez is a great example for kids watching how much enthusiasm you can take to a sport.
Let's try Ray. Ray is in Western Springs. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, guys. I agree that Javi Baez is magnifico at times, but at the 4 at-bats yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he had two strikeouts, a walk, and a home run. Those two strikeouts, those two sliders he struck out at, he couldn't have hit that those pitches if his life depended on it. They were 4 feet out of the zone. So it's either feast or famine with him.
But Ray, let me ask you a question, Ray.
And then the fourth time he's up, the guy grooves a fastball chest high. Of course he's going to kill it.
Don't some guys you just give the benefit of the doubt? If he's a great shooter in basketball and he takes, you know, some terrible shots, but you know what? He's going to hit some shots that nobody else is going to make. That's the thing with Javi Baez at the plate. He's going to swing at some terrible pitches. He's going to look awful on one pitch and embarrass you the next.
There's no question. So why would a major league pitcher ever throw him a strike?
I wouldn't. I don't know why they would. But you know what?
That's interesting, Ray.
They keep doing it, and if they don't, he's hit some bad balls out of the park as well. And he's gone the opposite way more this year, and that's been a difference. That's why, as part of his evolution as a more complete hitter, he's doing everything right.
Yeah, he's not a guy that walks a lot, right? He's not a guy that he's a free swinging man of the traveling people. He doesn't mess around. He likes to let it rip, and you know, gone are the days of the corkscrewing himself into the ground. But he still is not what you'd call a guy that's trying to work the at-bat. He's trying to get a hit.
He still ended up on one knee last night, taking one big swing. And you see that occasionally. Like, you do see the I am just going to let it all rip and all hang out here. And then he's been a little bit more disciplined. But I do think to some degree, you've got to let Javi be Javi. And that's the approach you take at the plate, because he's going to come up with those tape measure home runs and those clutch hits more often than not.
All right. The Bears had their OTA yesterday, began OTAs, and it began with the media portion of your program. Some interesting things from Matt Nagy talking about Mitchell Trubisky. Fantastic stuff. Movement on the offensive line, always interesting. We'll get into that. And we want to talk to Bigsy about the top 100 list, too, a little bit. He was involved in one that will be coming out relatively
soon.
It'll
be unveiled shortly.
Yeah, it'll be fun to compare lists and see if there are any names that made one list and didn't make the other. That's the horrible part of putting those lists together. If you miss someone, you can never get that back. So I will be very curious to monitor that. I'm sure they're all doubling back.
I think missing somebody would be less of a concern with something like this. We're valuing or undervaluing somebody that looks really, really bad.
But whenever you put these lists together, there's going to be stark differences.
Where's Trubisky?
And we'll find
top 25.
Well, we'll ask Big Z next. He'll let us know if he's headed there, as Matt Nagy suggests.
You know what? You just made the list.
Tempo, did you see the front page of the paper?
No, I didn't.
I've always wanted to make the paper, but look at that.
You're back in the Sun Times.
How
did that happen?
Are they tweaking me?
I think you...
And why the hell didn't I name my son McCormick?
It's a little too on the nose, I think.
The front page of the Sun Times is McCormick Mulligan, and it's about the second chance to rebuild McCormick Place.
I thought it was about your long-lost uncle.
Doesn't it sound like it?
Could be.
My name is like McGillicuddy when you think about it, right?
It's
just so ethnic.
A happy belated birthday to Mr. David, by the way.
We didn't even get the spanking machine going
Thanks,
yesterday.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And Jill's spilling the beans.
Start pouring the shots. He's got to have one for every year. Ooh.
Shot of soy milk?
Should be,
not at this hour.
Okay. No, God help
Maybe 6:30 p.m. Meet me.
We'll be there.
Brand Biggs. Biggs time. Report with Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggsy. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And he is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. Biggsy!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it is, it's all fun and games. It's always great to see the Bears get back to work. And as you told us, James Daniels lining up as the starting center. So, again, they've made that move. And I was saying earlier, I trust Harry. and what he sees and what he's going to do. And I know there's a lot of movement in the offseason, but it's all for the best, right? Is that the way we have to look at it?
Yeah, I think putting James Daniels there now to look at him, let him get accustomed to it, let Mitch get accustomed to it, makes all the sense in the world. Matt Nagy was asked about it and said that it's something they're looking at and they'll see where it goes, indicating that nothing is permanent. But when you make a move like this, you're doing so hoping that it's permanent, in my mind anyway. So let James get acclimated there, get accustomed to making the calls, and that type of thing. And, you know, they think James Daniels can be an excellent center. And keep in mind, James Daniels is only 21. He's not going to turn 22 until after the regular season begins. He's still a really young player with a bright future. And, you know, that was OTA number two. It was the first one open to the media. I would expect to see James at center throughout the remainder of the spring. And then when we open training camp, we'll have to see if that holds true. But I think that's going to happen, guys.
And, Brad, because it's only OTA number two, this is we're at the conversation stage. Everything is just talking about what's going to happen. But I was surprised a little bit at Chuck Pagano, the new defensive coordinator, talking about how much he's throwing at the defense to process, to kind of see what they have. And all of the maybe suggestion is that it's new terminology, it's new ideas. You've got a really good defense. His job should be number one. Just don't screw it up. Did you get that sense? And do you think that that's just, you know, coach speak for like, hey, this is part of the adjustment phase? Is this normal?
Yeah, I think it's normal. Yeah, there's new terminology that the players have to use, and Chuck talked about going through an install period in the earlier phases of the off-season program when it's, you know, he's just working with his defensive players on the field, and there's no offensive players out there, but they were installing. They're going through the same thing right now again, installation. They'll go through installation next month when they have mini camp, and then they'll do it a fourth time in training camp without being by that point everybody's going to have everything down. So they're putting material in, but then they're reviewing it. I think in most cases, not all, but most cases, players are going to have to learn a new name for something that they did under Vic. Will Chuck have some wrinkles? Absolutely. Are there some slight assignment differences within kind of the same play between Vic and Chuck? Yes, there's that too, but nothing that really, you know, changes the scope of what they're doing.
And it, obviously you got a new defensive coordinator there and things change and, you know, you're talking about it, but the talent level doesn't change,
and it might have gotten
better because guys could be improving, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, shoot, look at them right now. They didn't have 52 on the roster this time last year. Aaron Lynch was basically on the shelf all spring and summer last year. Eddie Jackson, certainly a better player right now than he was a year ago. I think you could probably say that about Kyle Fuller as well. Talk about Bilal Nichols, the defensive lineman, kind of came out of nowhere a year ago. So I think they're better. And ultimately, you want to take the better roster than the better playbook. And so,
yep.
And I'm not saying that Chuck doesn't have a great playbook. I'm just saying they've got superior athletes on that side of the ball, and they should be in really good shape with Chuck Pagano. And Chuck, you know, Chuck's enthusiasm, guys, is easy to pick up on, and I think he really means it when he talks about getting, you know, re-energized, refreshed with that year out of football that he had.
Mm-hmm. A couple housekeeping things, Brad. So Taquan Mizell becomes a wide receiver from a running back, and Bradley Sowell goes from offensive lineman to tight end?
Yeah, the Mazzell one. There's a lot of depth at wide receiver. He's going to have an awful difficult time, in my opinion, cracking a 53. And the one with Soles a little bit more interesting. I that's going to make it tough for him, I think. But you go back to last year, guys, and when you'd see him on the field, he was that third tight end, that blocking tight end that would come in and report as an eligible number. They did that. I mean, shoot, he must have had two dozen snaps or so doing that, at least in 2018. They know that he can block. You saw him out there running routes. He didn't look completely out of place, I'll say that. You know, they're not, as Nagy said, they're not making that move to have a guy out there to catch two-point conversions and stuff. They're looking at, you know, potentially needing a wide tight end, that blocking guy. The question that creates is, okay, if he's got an eligible number now, who's the swing tackle? And it certainly, I believe, creates an opportunity for Rashad Coward, who was just learning to play offensive line at this time a year ago. And maybe another guy to keep an eye on is Cornelius Lucas, who was signed this offseason. He's huge, fellas. He's every bit of 6'8", 330.
Wow.
Be interesting to see what happens at the swing tackle position. On the inside, I imagine they feel pretty good about veteran Ted Larson, now in his second tour with the Bears, as a guy who can help him out in a pinch at guard or center.
Or in a fight.
Got to go there. Mike Davis, the running back guy, saw him yesterday. I'm not saying that he's going to play like Thomas Jones, but he's the physique-wise, this is the back that will most remind people of Thomas Jones since Jones left the Bears.
Wow,
those are good memories,
yeah.
Brad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Powerful lower body, powerful upper body.
Like that comp. Interesting.
We have to mention the top 100 list, the Dan and Don top 100 list. Olin Krutz checking in at 27. We're going to talk to him a little bit later in the program. That seems low for Olin. And I know the Bears have nothing but Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they've got like 26 Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah, so it's hard to, you know, say that someone belongs here, there, or anywhere. But I don't know. It's a tough thing to put together. Was Olin higher or lower in your list, or can you not say?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I would say in that range.
Okay.
You know, you've got a really, really good center in Jay Hilgenberg, sure, who I know Dan's, you know, tried to put together compelling cases to get Jay into the Pro Football
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Who's there too? That's got to be, you know, high on that list. Olin, what he meant to the Bears as a player, he was, you know, the undisputed leader of that offensive line on the field, and then what he meant, I think, for the organization from Monday through Saturday, is a leader in the locker room, not just of the offense, of the entire team. You know, he added huge value to what they were trying to accomplish, and he did so for an awful long time.
Did Briggs being 28 and Wilbur Marshall being 43 surprise you on the Bears list?
No, that wouldn't shock me. Because I think you could make a pretty strong case that, you know, Wilbur Marshall's Bears career was significantly shorter than Lance's, mm-hmm, right? So that doesn't seem, you know, off to me. Again, if you're looking at it from that lens, because I think that's one of the factors that you have to take into account is this is a Bears top 100 list. You know, how many seasons did this guy contribute to the Bears?
All right, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. We
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
It.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Always fun to talk football. Always fun to see the OTAs. And again, the quote that came from Matt Nagy yesterday about Mitchell Trubisky. Last year, I kept talking about 101, meaning offense 101. Now, without a doubt, I can say with pure conviction, we're in 202 right now. I mean, he's doing things the last 2 days that last year at this time, he wasn't even close.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to sound like, you know, throwing water on all this.
No.
But nothing makes me roll my eyes more than that kind of like talk, because Mitch Trubisky is in improvement mode. And
yes,
this progression third mentally year that he's going yep to make, and we're going to hear so much before he plays another game about the processing and the decisions and where he's ahead of schedule. I see it. I see it on the field. And I understand why he's ahead of schedule and all those things, but
everybody wins mini camp. Everybody wins OTAs. It's a real feel-good time of year. When you get the pads on and you get into the competition is when it matters, and that's all that matters. And again, it's a step up in class in the schedule. There's a lot of first-place teams on it. Vegas has no faith in them, which is different than Baseball Prospectus having no faith in the Cubs, if people want to make that comparison as they have. No. This is the gambling mode thing, which is always fascinating to me. And I don't quite understand it, because I think that team is reeking of 11 wins. But
I do too. But every time Matt Nagy says something like he did yesterday, the 202, yes, I respect it. But it also says it's all about the results with Mitch Trubisky. The development is over.
With pure conviction.
Well, with pure conviction, now he's got to produce.
Okay. Or you will be convicted in the public arena of a crime against humanity, or at least the city of Chicago.
Up next, defendant Ozzie Guillen.
Yes, 312-644-6767. We'll get into some of this, but we're going to bring in Ozzie next, and we'll talk to him.
Eaton, nobody like you.
About all things White Sox and Cubs. Mully on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.